This week's Parsha is Parsha's Miketz, and we'll focus our shir on chapter 43, verse number 16. But before we do that, we'll give a quick synopsis of what's going on in the Parsha. Yosef became a viceroy. He's in charge of all of Egypt. There is a famine in the land, and Yaakov sends 10 sons to go supply food for the family. The 10 brothers come down to Egypt, meaning that Binyamin stayed back home. Yosef accuses them of being spies. They deny the charge. Yosef puts them in jail. And Yosef says that the only way that they are going to be exonerated is if they leave one of the brothers, Shimon, back in jail. And they go get their younger brother, Binyamin, and bring him to Egypt. Yaakov originally does not agree to send Binyamin. But because of the hunger in the land, Yaakov realizes that he has no choice. Yehuda guarantees Binyamin's safety. And now the brothers are coming down to Egypt with Binyamin. And now we are going to focus in our shir, which is in chapter 43, verse number 16. The pasuk says, Vayar Yosef itam es Binyamin. Yosef saw with them Binyamin. Vayoymer la'asher habeisoy. And he told to the one who is charged on his house, Haves anoshim habeisa. Bring those people to the house, utvoach tevach, and slaughter an animal, v'hochein, and prepare it, ki iti yoichlu ha'anoshim b'tzoroim, because with me are those people going to eat at noon. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadik, Aleph Amud Aleph, 91a, says, v'amar Rabbi Yosef b'Rav Chanina, Rabbi Yosef the son of Chanina said, Ma'i dichsif, what is the meaning of the pasuk, utvoach tevach v'hochein, that you should slaughter an animal and prepare. So the Gemara says, Pora lohem beis hashchita, expose to them the place of slaughtering. V'hochein, and prepare means tul gidanosha bifneim, remove the gidanosha in front of them. The Gemara continues that this, that Yosef HaTzadik asked, that they remove the gidanosha, the sciatic nerve of the animal, goes according to the opinion that says Gidanoshe Nesar Livenoach, that Gidanoshe became prohibited while the Jews were still Noachites. Meaning, not only after they received the Torah did Gidanoshe become forbidden, Gidanoshe was already forbidden from the time of Yaakov after the angel moved his sciatic nerve. At that point, Gidanoshe, that vein that runs around the leg, was forbidden. Therefore, Yosef is telling to the one that is in charge of his house to remove that sciatic nerve in front of the brothers in order for them to be sure that they could eat the meat. Rashi explains that you shouldn't ask a question, what difference does it make if the animal is slaughtered or not? The halachas of Shechita were not given until after we received the Torah. Then why was Yosef making a point to showing the brothers the place of the slaughtering? Rashi answers that the brothers of Yosef kept the Torah before the Torah was given, meaning they had a tradition from their fathers about the mitzvahs in the Torah. They were very particular about slaughtering the animal properly. Therefore, Yosef told to the one in charge of his house, which the Dazakenim Baal Toises identifies as his son Menashe, to make sure that he slaughters the animal properly. Toises asks a question on the second part of the Gemara, that the Gemara says that v'hochin and prepare means that remove the gidanosha, the sciatic nerve, in front of them. And the Gemara says that this goes according to the opinion that the sciatic nerve was prohibited for the Jewish people even before the Torah was given. Tosfos asks, how do we know that? It may be that Gidanosha, that prohibition against the sciatic nerve, was only given after Torah was given. But in the same way that the brothers exercised the stringency of ritual slaughtering of Shechita before Torah was given, because they had that tradition from Yaakov, maybe they also exercised the stringency of Gidanosha because they had a tradition from Yaakov. How do we know for sure from the language that this means that Gidanosha was already forbidden for the Jewish people even before Torah was given? Maybe it was just a stringency that the brothers kept. Tosfos gives two answers. The first answer Tosfos says is that the hochein is a requirement. Prepare means remove the gidanosha and not optional. Where tuvoach tevach is not a requirement, means slaughter if you want. And as a matter of fact, Rashi on the Chumash also says that the ein tvoach loshen tzivui, that tvoach tevach is not a commandment to slaughter, because if it would be a commandment, then it would be written the tvach and slaughter. Utvoach tevach seems to be if you want slaughter. From there we learn that there is a commandment to remove the gidanosher, but there is no commandment to slaughter. Keep in mind this Rashi, because we are going to use this Rashi soon. But the Anaf Yosef, which is an interpretation brought down by the Ein Yaakov, answers to this question in a different way. The Anaf Yosef is wondering, why is it necessary for the Torah to bring me this idea that Yosef told Menashe to make sure to slaughter the animal and remove the gidanosh in front of their eyes? Why is it this necessary? Why couldn't the Torah just tell me that the eight with Yosef was different if they prepared it and how they prepared it? What's the point of that? The Anaf Yosef says that Yosef wanted to give a message to the brothers, meaning the brothers were guilty of slaughtering an animal and dipping his shirt, his ksoines pasim, in the blood and showing this to the father. Yosef wanted them to repent for this. Therefore, Yosef told Menashe to slaughter the animal in front of them. Then they will see the slaughtering part. They'll remember what they did wrong to Yosef. They will come to repent. And that is the reason why the Torah is telling us the story that Yosef told Menashe to slaughter the animal. But what's the point for the Torah telling me the story that Yosef also told Menashe to remove the gidanosha in front of them? What's the message in that? Therefore, the Anaf Yosef says that the Gemara concluded that the message must be to teach us that the prohibition of gidanosha applied even before we received the Torah. After the story of Yaakov, right away, the prohibition against gidanosha started to apply. Not only after we received the Torah, but before we received the Torah, that prohibition of gidanosha was already in effect. I have a question on this Anaf Yosef, because we could find a great reason why Yosef would tell Menashe to show them the removal of the sciatic nerve, even though maybe it was not prohibited for the Jewish people to eat the sciatic nerve until Torah was given. And the reason is that Sefer Ezer Miyuda from my Rosh Yeshiva, the Vinerov, says that one of the reasons that the angel of Esav could move the calf Yerech Yaakov, the socket of the hip of Yaakov, as described in Vayishlach chapter 32, verse number 26, is because Yaakov Avinu had two sins. One sin is that at that point he didn't see his father for 20 years, and that is represented by the calf, by the 20 years, meaning he didn't do kibud av va'em, the mitzvah of honoring your father and mother, for 20 years. And the other sin that Yaakov Avinu had that allowed the angel, which was the guardian angel of Esav, to dislocate his hip was because of the hip, because of the yerech, meaning that Yaakov had a sin that he was married to two sisters, which is prohibited by the Torah. The pasuk in Parshas Achremois, Vayikra chapter 18, verse number 18 says, Ve'isha elachoisa loisikach, a woman in addition to her sister, you're not allowed to take, litzroir, to cause them to become rivals, the galois revosa oleo, to expose her nakedness on her, bechayeo, while she's alive, meaning that you are not allowed to be married to two sisters at the same time. Only after one sister is deceased, you are allowed to marry the other sister. Yaakov was married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Because of this prohibition, the angel, which was the guardian angel of Esav, was able to dislocate Yaakov's hip. And the Vinerov explains why specifically the angel was able to dislocate the hip of Yaakov. And he says that in Parshas Nosoi, which is Bamidbar chapter 5, verse number 21, there the Torah is referring to Asota. Asota is a woman who is suspected of committing adultery. They come to the Beis Hamikdash and she drinks the Sota waters. And if she's found guilty, then the Torah tells you, Beseis Hashem es yerichech noifeles es bitnech tzava, and Hashem is going to make your hip to fall off and your stomach to become swollen, meaning that the first symptom of the disease that happened to a Sota that is guilty started with the hip. And the Gemara in Sota, Daf Tes Omed Beis 9b, explains why specifically did the disease start with the hip. The Gemara says that Lefi Sheboy Ischila Bavera Tchila, that the reason why the hip is the first one affected is because this is the closest organ to where the forbidden relationship took place. Therefore, Hashem punished the Sota that the disease started with the hip. And here too, since the angel of Esav was criticizing Yaakov for the fact that he was married to two sisters at the same time, therefore the angel of Esav had the power to dislocate Yaakov's hip. And even though technically Yaakov had excuses for what he did, meaning that regarding the 20 years he didn't see his father, he had the excuse that the mother said on Bereshis chapter 27, verse number 45, Rivka told Yaakov that Yaakov should stay away at shuv afochi chamimcha until the anger of your brother leaves you, v'shachach es asher osisoloi, and he'll forget what you did to him. Then v'sholachti, I will send for you, ulekachticha misham, and I will take you from there, meaning that Yaakov was required to stay by Lavan's house until his mother sent a messenger for him to come home. And since the mother didn't send a message yet, then Yaakov technically was not transgressing the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, of honoring his father and mother. And regarding the second sin that we mentioned, that Yaakov was guilty for marrying two sisters at the same time, there are many commentaries that pose this question and they give various interpretations. The Ramban gives an interpretation that since Yaakov was married with two sisters, Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, and before Torah was given, our forefathers only kept Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Yaakov was not guilty of marrying two sisters. And the second answer is that since Lavan was an idolater, then Rachel and Leah were considered converts. And the Gemara says that Gershon is Gayer, a convert that converts, Kekotn Shenoila Dome, is considered as a newborn child, meaning that all previous relationships are cancelled since it's considered as a newborn baby. Then technically, Rachel and Leah, even though they are biological sisters, but halachically they are not considered sisters since they were converts. And the other interpretation is that since the Torah stresses that the reason you're not allowed to marry two sisters is that they become rivals to one another, and since Rachel gave the simonim to Leah in order for her to marry Yaakov, and Rachel thought at that point that she is giving up totally on her husband, then Yaakov thought that in regard to these sisters, the prohibition does not apply, since they will never become rivals to one another. We see that technically Yaakov had good excuses for what he did, but nonetheless the angel of Esav was able to injure him, was able to dislocate his hip, was able to cause him pain, because even though it wasn't wrong what Yaakov did, but nonetheless it seemed to be improper. And because of this idea that Yaakov suffered, even though he did something proper, but since it looked improper, Yaakov had to suffer. The Torah writes down on chapter 32, verse 33, that the Jewish people should not eat the sciatic nerve, which is on the socket of the hip, until this day. Why? Because the angel was able to touch the socket of the hip of Yaakov in the Gidanosha, in the sciatic nerve. And that was caused because Yaakov acted seemingly improper, even though he had good excuses for what he did. We see from the prohibition of Gidanosha that if it seems improper what you do, even though you have a technical good reason why you are doing it, you could suffer. And Yosef wanted to hint to his brothers by showing them the removal of the Gidanosha that they were guilty for the same thing. Because number one, what they did to him, even though in their mind it was proper, but it definitely seemed improper, and they could suffer through that. And also, the reason for the Gidanosha was the pain that Yaakov caused his father. And you, by selling me and doing what you did to me, you caused pain to your father. Then according to this idea, the fact that Yosef showed to the brothers the Gidanosha, that was actually a rebuke to them, and was telling them to do tshuva, to repent, in the same way that the slaughter was a message for them to do tshuva for dipping the shirt in the blood, according to the Anaf Yosef. And according to the Dazakenim Baal Toisus, that explains that the reason for Gidanosha is that since Vayivoser Yaakov Levadoi, that Yaakov remained alone, there was nobody with him, that caused the angel to be able to attack him, meaning when you're alone, you are exposed to harm. And he explains that that's the reason why throughout the generations we should not eat the Gidanosha, in order to remember that we are not allowed to leave a Jew alone, meaning that Yaakov only suffered because he was alone. Had he not been alone, he wouldn't suffer. Therefore, we should always remember, by not eating the Gidanosha, not to leave a Jew alone. That could be the reason why Yosef specifically told Manasseh to remove the Gidanosha in front of them, in order to remind them that they did leave a person alone. They transgressed the prohibition of Gidanosha. Maybe they didn't transgress the prohibition of eating the Gidanosha, but they transgressed the reason for the Gidanosha, that they caused Yosef to be alone. According to what I just mentioned, that the Gemara says Vahochein, and prepare means that remove the sciatic nerve, remove the Gidanosha in front of them. And I just said that this was a hint that they did something wrong and they are required to do tshuva. But nonetheless, we see that Yosef HaTzadik decided to sit down with them together and have a meal. We could understand what the Shilte HaGiboyrim brings down in the second Perek of Shabbos, in Perek Madlikim Oschez. He writes there that this pasuk we just mentioned, Utvoach, Tevach, Vahochein, has an allusion to Hanukkah, because the ches of the word Tevach and Vahochein and the letters of Vahochein comprise the words Hanukkah, because the ches from Tevach and the vav, hey, chof, nun makes the letters Hanukkah, and this is alluding to Hanukkah. And he continues and says that the rest of the letters of Utvoach Tevach also alludes to the 36 candles of Hanukkah, because the numerical value of Utvoach Tav is 36, because in the Torah the word Utvoach is written without a vav between the Ves and the Ches. Therefore, the numerical value of the word Utvoach is 25, because the vav is 6, the tes is 9, 6 plus 9 is 15, the Ves is 2, 15 plus 2 is 17, and the Ches is 8, 15 plus 8 is 25. And the second word, Tevach, we already used the Ches for the word Hanukkah, that remains Tes and Ves. The Tes is 9, that's 25 plus 9 is 34. 34 plus 2 of Ves is 36. 36 are the number of candles we light on Hanukkah, because 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8, this is a total of 36. Then comes out that the pasuk Tvoach Tevach Vahochein means 36 Hanukkah, and since this was made for a meal, that alludes that on Hanukkah you're required to make a meal. Sefer Tilba Pardes adds to the Shulte HaGiborim, meaning that he says that Vahochein and the Ches from Tevach makes Hanukkah, but he says Utvoach Tav means something different, And he says that Utvoach is numerical value 25, as we mentioned before. And the letter Stav means Bechoydesh Tes, in the ninth month, which is Kislev, which means to say that in the 25th day of the ninth month of the month of Kislev, that's going to be Hanukkah, and that's allusion also to the meals that we require to make on Hanukkah. And we have to understand what is the deeper connection between the idea of Yosef having a meal and Hanukkah. And to understand that, we have to bring another Medrash Peliyah, another interesting and perplexing Medrash, where the Medrash goes on the Pasuk on Vayishlach, where it says, Al kein lo yoichlu bnei Yisrael es gid anosha, that the Jewish people should not eat the sciatic nerve, as is written the letters Aleph Tav, and the Medrash says that Aleph Tav means Tisha Av, the ninth day of Av, and the Medrash makes a connection between the ninth day of Av, which the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, with the Gid Anosha, with the sciatic nerve. And that is perplexing. In previous years, I devoted a whole class on this Medrash, and now I will give a different interpretation. The Gemara writes down that the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because they had the three capital crimes: idolatry, immorality, and murder. But the second Beis Hamikdash, even though they had Torah learning and they had Gemilas Chasadim, acts of kindness, it was still destroyed because we had baseless hatred. We had Sinas Chinam. One of the manifestations of Sinas Chinam, of baseless hatred, is when you have nothing to do with your fellow Jew, when you want nothing to do, when you have nothing to do. When you leave a Jew alone, then this is a manifestation of baseless hatred. And as the Dazakenim Baal Toisos explains, that the reason we're not allowed to eat the Gid Anosha is because we have to remember not to leave a Jew alone, that we have to have love to our fellow Jew, and by not eating the Gid Anosha, we'll remember that Yaakov Avinu was harmed because he was alone, and we are not allowed to leave another Jew alone. Therefore, at the pasuk that says that the Jewish people should not eat the Gid Anosha, the word "es" there is alluding to Tisha B'Av, and it's alluding that if you get the message of not eating the Gid Anosha, that you do not leave a Jew alone, then you won't have baseless hatred. Therefore, you won't have the destruction of the temple. But if you forget the idea of the Gid Anosha, if you forget idea and leave another Jew alone, then you'll have baseless hatred, and eventually that will cause to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the destruction of the temple. So as Gid Anosha, the Gid Anosha, alludes not only to the Gid Anosha, the sciatic nerve itself, but it also alludes that if you do not follow the meaning behind that law, you eventually cause the Beis Hamikdash to be destroyed. Hey Yosef HaTzadik, when he meets his brother, is alluding that they are guilty for transgressing the Gid Anosha, because as the Maharsha points out on the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadik Aleph, when the Gemara says Utvoach Tevach, that open up the place of the slaughter, it doesn't write down in front of them. But yet, when it's talking about Vahochein, remove the Gid Anosha, there the Gemara says remove the Gid Anosha in front of them. True that the Maharsha uses this statement for a different reason. The Maharsha uses this statement to answer Tosfos's question of how do I know that it was prohibited for the Jewish people before Torah was given to eat the Gid Anosha, the sciatic nerve. And the Maharsha answers that when it's written that they should open up the place of Shechita, it doesn't mean that Menashe should slaughter the animal. It means that open up the place of slaughtering in order for the brothers to slaughter the animal. Because the Maharsha asks a question that if it's true that they kept the laws of Shechita, the laws of slaughtering, before it was given in a voluntary basis, then it wouldn't help if Menashe would slaughter the animal, because a non-Jew slaughters an animal, it is not kosher. Therefore, the Maharsha says that it's meant that the Jewish people, the brothers, should slaughter the animal, and Menashe should open up the neck in order to make it easier for them to slaughter, but not that Menashe should slaughter. But regarding the Gid Anosha, it says that do it bifneim, in front of them, which implies that Menashe himself did it in front of them. That's how the Marsha answers Tosfos's question. But nonetheless, the Marsha makes a point that regarding the Gidanoshe, it's written bifneim, in front of them. So we could say that this seems to imply that they are really guilty about the problem of Gidanoshe. Therefore, they need to have the lesson of the Gidanoshe presented in front of them in order for them to see clearly that they transgressed this. That is the reason why he told Menashe's son to remove the Gidanoshe in front of them. But nonetheless, Yosef HaTzadik was willing to forgive the brothers for the harm they did to him, and Yosef HaTzadik decided at this point to eat together with his brothers. This is the first time in 22 years that the brothers sat together. They made a hava and shalom between them. Because of that, Yosef HaTzadik was making an effect that there is going to be a light to Beis HaMikdash. There is going to be the miracle of Hanukkah, which according to the Bnei Yisachar, Hanukkah comes from the language chinuch, from the language teaching, from the language preparation, that we have to get ready to prepare for the future. And this is the idea that Yosef HaTzadik was telling the brothers, that the only way that we are going to have the miracle of Hanukkah, which brings the light into the world, is if we make shalom, if we are at peace. Therefore, specifically, when he's having a meal with his brother, when he's making peace with his brother in a way, that the first time they're sitting together as brothers, even though they may not know at this point that they are brothers, but Yosef here is showing that he believes that they are his brothers, and at this point, the miracle of Hanukkah, which is the miracle of inauguration, is taking place, that this peace that they are doing now is eventually going to cause that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, that the Beis HaMikdash that is being destroyed because of hatred will eventually be re-inaugurated because of this peace and this meal that they are eating together. And according to this idea, we could understand a pasuk in Parsha Shmini, Vayikra chapter 9, verse number 3. There we are discussing the inauguration of the Mishkan, and the Jewish people are told to bring a sir izim lechatos, a sheep for a sin offering. The Ramban brings a medrash that this sheep for sin offering comes to atone for the sin of the sale of Yosef. Meaning that when they sold Yosef, they took a sheep and they slaughtered and they took the blood and they smeared the ksoines pasim in that blood and they showed to Yaakov. Therefore, the first thing they bring as an atonement for the inauguration of the tabernacle of the Mishkan is Asir Izim Lechatos, a sheep for sin offering. The simple explanation that they give is that since this was the first sin of the Jewish people, therefore we want to bring an atonement for that sin. But now we could say a little bit deeper. We could say that since this is a sin that causes strife between people, that causes division, and that division could eventually bring to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, therefore Hashem wants, before the Mishkan, the tabernacle, is inaugurated, for you to remember that sin, for you to remember that sin as chinam, that baseless hatred, is the cause of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And if you remember to atone for that sin right away, then hopefully you won't repeat that sin and you won't cause the tabernacle to be destroyed. That we want to make sure that we continue with the tabernacle, therefore we have to make sure to make amends for the sale of Yosef, which was a cause of sinas chinam, of baseless hatred. In order to make sure the Beis HaMikdash is able to stand for all days, we have to make sure to rectify that sin before we do anything else, because otherwise there won't be continuation for the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, the first sacrifice that we bring in the tabernacle is a sacrifice that teaches us not to do sin as chinam, not to do baseless hatred. According to what we previously said, that Rashi held that the reason that Yosef HaTzadik told Menashe to show the brothers the place where the shechita was, where the ritual slaughtering was, even though the laws of ritual slaughtering were not given till after Sinai, till after we received the Torah. Nonetheless, the brothers held the laws of the Torah before the Torah was given. We could also answer why specifically during this meal it's alluded to the miracle of Hanukkah. But before we do that, we'll introduce a Medrash Rabbah in this week's Parsha, Perek Yudal Siman Beis. The Medrash there says, Yosef hikdim v'shimer ha-Shabbos ad sheloi nitna. Yosef kept Shabbos before it was given. Shenemar, because the pasuk writes down, utvoach tevach v'hochein, that slaughter an animal and prepare. And this Erev Shabbos also, it was Erev Shabbos. V'ein v'hochein elo l'Shabbos, because v'hochein only means when you're doing it for Shabbos. As it's written in Shmos chapter 16, verse number 5, where there we're discussing the man, that the man fell on Friday. It's written, V'hoyo b'yom ha'shishi, it will be in the sixth day, means Friday. V'hichinu, they should prepare the food for the next day, which is Shabbos. And there are different interpretations. How do I know that this preparing means for Shabbos? Number one, because it's not proper for a king to eat a day-old meal. The only reason that you would eat a day-old meal is because the next day will be Shabbos and you can't cook. Or the reason is, according to what the Divrei Yoel explains, because there is no reason to tell Menashe to remove the Gidanoshe now, the sciatic nerve now. They could have done it after they received the meal. But the reason that they couldn't do it is because if they going to receive the meal on Shabbos, you cannot remove the Gidanoshe, because that will be Boirer, that will be the prohibition against sorting, because on Shabbos you're not allowed to remove something bad from something good, and the Gidanoshe, since you're not allowed to eat and you want to remove it, that will definitely be considered something bad from something good. And we have to understand what is now the connection between Yosef keeping Shabbos before the Torah was given and the idea that in the same pasuk it's alluded to the miracle of Hanukkah. And I wanted to answer this based on the Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev, supplemented by the Kli Yakar. Rashi says that the Bosom Ra, the evil reports that Yosef HaTzadik was bringing on the brothers, involved three things. Involved that they were consorting with other women, and also involved that they were calling the Bnei HaShfachos, the sons of the maidens, slaves, and also that they were suspected on Eiver Minachai, on a limb of a living being, meaning that there's a prohibition against eating a limb of a living being, and the brothers were doing this. And the Kli Yakar explains these ideas by saying that Yosef and the brothers had a philosophical disagreement. The brothers held that they have the law of a Jew, meaning that even though the Torah wasn't given yet, they had the law of a Jew, of Bnei Israel, with all its stringencies and leniencies. And Yosef believed that they have the laws of a Gentile, meaning that before Torah was given, they have to keep the laws of the Gentile and not the law of a Jew. We are going to keep the law of the Jew after the Torah is given, but until that point, we are required to follow the laws of a Gentile. And the Kli Yakar explains that there is a specific difference between the law of a Jew and the law of a Gentile regarding the idea of Eiver Min HaChai, of a limb of a living being. Meaning that one of the seven Noahide laws is not eating a limb of a living being. But definition of a living being, that is a difference between Jewish law and Gentile law. Meaning that since a Jew is required to slaughter the animal, to do shechita on the animal, then once you do shechita on this animal, once you do the procedure of ritual slaughtering, then the animal is considered dead, even though there is still movement in the animal. Meaning, even though the animal is still convulsing, legally, after ritual slaughtering, the animal is considered dead. But since in Gentile law you are not required to do ritual slaughtering, then the ritual slaughtering does not make the animal dead. Making the animal dead is only after all movement of the animal has ceased. Therefore, even though you do ritual slaughtering to the animal, according to Gentile law, the animal is still considered alive and you can't eat a limb of that animal. The animal is only going to be considered dead after all movement had ceased. The brothers used to eat a part of the animal after the animal was slaughtered, even though the animal may still be moving. And Yosef saw that, and Yosef reported that to the father. There may be an ulterior motive why the brothers decided to hold this way. It could be that they wanted to delegitimize Yosef HaTzadik, meaning that since the Torah prohibits a man from marrying the wife's sister, and the wife of Yaakov, the first wife of Yaakov was Leah, Rachel was the wife's sister, and that is illegal, then comes out that Yosef is an illegitimate son of Yaakov, that Yosef cannot be a king and cannot be in power, because since he is the son of the illegal wife of Yaakov, therefore he cannot attain power in order to rule the Jewish people. Here, Rashi brings down that Yosef told Menashe to make sure that he ritually slaughters the animal and showed the brothers that he ritually slaughtered the animal. And he also shows them the Gid Hanasha, the sciatic nerve. So we see that Yosef went out of his way to do what the brothers held, meaning that even though Yosef held that they have the law of a Gentile, and as such, it's not required to have ritual slaughter, nonetheless, he tells his son Menashe to go through the procedure and do the way the brothers wanted. And not only that, there is another difference between a Jew and a Gentile, that the Gemara writes down that Nochri Sheshavas Chayev Misa, that if a Gentile kept Shabbos, then he is liable for death. A Jew is required to keep Shabbos, but a Gentile is not allowed to keep Shabbos. And here, Yosef, when he's making the meal with his brothers, he's making sure that he does everything properly in order not to transgress Shabbos. As the Medrash says, Utvoach Tevach V'Hochein, that prepare for tomorrow, and that means to keep Shabbos. Then comes out that Yosef went out of his way to make peace with his brothers, to hold in the same way that the brothers hold that they have the law of a Jew before Torah was given, even though personally he may not have believed this way, but nonetheless, in order to make shalom, in order to make peace with his brothers, he was willing to change his mind and do what the brothers held. And that is the reason why the Medrash Rabbah is specifically giving praise for Yosef to keep Shabbos, not the brothers keeping Shabbos, because the brothers keeping Shabbos, that is nothing out of the ordinary, since they believed they had the law of a Jew. But Yosef here, even though he holds he has the law of a Gentile, he is still keeping Shabbos in order to make Shalom. Therefore, Yosef deserves a praise. Therefore, it could be that we call it Shabbos Shalom, the Shabbos that makes Shalom, because Yosef went out of his way to make shalom with his brothers. Because of this shalom, as we mentioned previously, that the whole Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because there was strife between brothers, but shalom, peace, ensures that the Beis HaMikdash will stand forever. Therefore, specifically on the words that Yosef kept Shabbos and that Yosef made a meal for the brothers using shchita, using ritual slaughtering, which was not required according to his opinion, specifically in these words is alluded Chanukah, the miracle of Chanukah, because Chanukah is a time where we have to be harmonious with each other, where we have to prepare for the future, for the time when Moshiach will come and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. As a matter of fact, the Pasuk in Tehillim 132, verse number 10, Orachti Neir L'Mashiach, I prepared a candle for my Moshiach, meaning that Moshiach is going to come in the merit of the candles of Chanukah, and Moshiach will only come when we have harmony between brothers, when we have shalom between the Jewish people, because Moshiach's mission is to build the Beis Hamikdash, and the Beis Hamikdash cannot be rebuilt when there is strife amongst people. Therefore, specifically, when Yosef is making a meal and he's going out of his way to make harmony between his brothers and himself, where he's making shalom, he's making havas chinam, at that point is alluded the miracle of Chanukah, the candles of Chanukah, because that ner that Moshiach is going to bring is the candle of harmony. And that could be the reason why in Parshas Baloyes Chabamidbar, chapter 8, verse number 2, Rashi writes down that Aharon was upset that neither he nor his tribe had any big part in the inauguration of the tabernacle. And Hashem told him, Shelcho Godol Mishalohem, that yours is greater than theirs because you beautify and light the candles. And the Ramban asks a question, why is this greater when the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed, then the candles aren't going to be lit? The Ramban answers that is alluding to the candles of Chanukah, that the Hashmonoim are going to light the candles of Chanukah. And according to this, you could explain what the idea that this is shown to Aharon HaKohen, because we know that Aharon's job was Oyev Shalom and Roidev Shalom, that he always loved peace and pursued peace. Therefore, specifically Aharon is the one that's going to merit to have the Chanukah candles, because the Chanukah candles are a product of peace. Therefore, only Aharon, which was the one always pursuing peace, he is the one that's going to merit to have his children light the menorah, light the Chanukah candles in the days of the Hashmonaim. And also could be that this is the reason when the rabbis instituted the mitzvah of Chanukah, that they wanted specifically to be Neir Ish Ubeisoy, that a candle, a man and his family, meaning since the miracle of Chanukah, the lights of Chanukah signified lights of Shalom, therefore has to be only in a house where both of them could lie together in order to increase Shalom Bayis, increase harmony and peace at home. And that could be the light that is mentioned in the Pasuk that Moshiach is going to use when he rebuilds the Beis Hamikdash. Because only through harmony, only through Shalom with the Jewish people could he rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. Now Hashem Yisborach should help that in this Chanukah we should all light the candles with harmony. Then we'll merit that Moshiach will really take this candle and build the Beis Hamikdash. Mimheira Bayomeinu. Amen.